This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We appreciate Dallin Cuff, not only the Portuguese word today, breaking down the men's Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight.
Yep.
But Beatrice Wallin, great player. Not good. Great, great golfer. Heading to Augusta.
No doubt.
Don't we all wish one of these days, teed up on the first tee, let it rip. I'd come out of retirement for that.
To play Augusta?
Yep. If somebody said, Pack, you know, I know you haven't hit a bad shot in 24 years, which is accurate.
It's pretty awesome.
Would you come out of retirement to play Augusta? The answer would be yes. Mm-hmm. True.
It's awesome.
It's an incredible place, man. Mm-hmm. There's something magical about that joint down there now.
Yep. It is pretty unbelievable. Yep. I tell people this when they ask about it. It's one of the few places you go where you have an expectation, right, of how fabulous it's going to be, and it blows the top off that.
It's the only sporting event that I know of that if you brought somebody that didn't know anything about golf, didn't know anything about sports,
right,
and you took them to the event, they would walk out of there at the end of the day and go, that was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you don't have to know anything about golf.
And it can rain and still be incredible.
Doesn't matter. Right. It's just, it really, truly is a magical place. She's lucky, man. Beatrice. Man, can she play, though? Holy yeah, those ladies are so good.
Let me, those of you that love to go to sporting events, the tickets for the Augusta National Women's Invitational have been, like, in high demand. They're not now. Masters tickets are a whole different story.
Yeah, that's a separate.
But universe. These tickets, the crowds, and you heard her mention three or four different times, crowds. The crowd for this event has been remarkable, because people can access the property who otherwise might not get there.
Right.
And they get to see golf being played.
Right.
And they love it. And I would say the drive, chip, and putt has also been an incredible success for Augusta National, and that's a collaborative effort with the USGA.
My brother's tied into that.
Yeah, and he'll be there, a week from Sunday to do that. That, to me, is as good an event as there is, too. Yeah, I love that event.
He loves it, too.
Yeah. So you get the Augusta National Women's Invitational, you get the drive, chip, and putt, and then you get the golf tournament, and it's just awesome. And
typical first class.
Oh, there? Whew. Dude, it's unbelievable.
It's like walking in the basement.
Yes. Eerily similar, right? Kate Douglas coming up in just a moment. She's a national champion at the University of Virginia with the dominant swimming and diving program there for women. We're going to talk to her. A return to the program, right?
Kate Douglas, a debut.
Oh, it's a debut for Kate Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
How many different Virginia swimmers and divers?
We've had four or five.
Holy cow. So Kate Douglas for the first time. And in case you missed it with Charlie Moore from yesterday, Miami, he was terrific and really enjoyed our visit with him. And we got NIT basketball tonight. Last night, disappointing finish. Virginia loses at home 52-51 to St. Bonaventure. The Bonnies advance to the semifinals in New York at MSG next week. Wake Forest gets their turn tonight at Texas A&M, 7 o'clock start over on ESPN2, I believe, tonight. Deacons will be trying to make it to the semifinals. The headlines of this game, at least in the ACC footprint, not necessarily about the game. Steve Forbes with some fairly specific comments about, you know, who's leading the band for the ACC nationally when it comes to our cause in basketball.
I mean, I can tell you that Sean Farnham is carrying the banner for the Pack. For the Pac-10 or Pac-12, I'm so old, it used to be the Pac-8, whatever it was. I know that Fran Fraschilla is beating the drum for the Big 12. I know Jimmy Dykes beats it for the SEC, you know, and the Big 10 has their own network. You know, they've got their own litany of people that are going to speak very highly. There's probably somebody, I'm just drawing a blank on the Big 10, but we can't take for granted just that we're the ACC and that we're the best league in the country, that has the best tradition, the most history, the most national championships, the most NBA players. I can go bam, 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 you know, but somebody's got to be beating that drum and not allowing some of these uninformed people to beat up on us like that, you know, like tweeting out one bid league. I mean, that's just ridiculously stupid, you know, but people were doing it and national people were doing it. And it doesn't probably affect the, you know, how many bids we get or whatever, but it does affect sometimes the narrative of our league. And I think we have to be, I think we should be very protective of that. We have a great thing, an unbelievable tradition. Now, granted, I haven't been a part of it for very long, but I feel like I should be a caretaker of that. And I will be as long as I'm the coach of Wake Forest.
Give me some pros and cons on Steve Forbes' comments.
Well, I mean, stupidity on Twitter, I find that appalling. Jeez, who would have ever thought social media have a bunch of morons with three followers or have an opinion? I said this earlier today on the show. You know, the narrative is determined on the court when it comes to hoops. It's determined on the field when it comes to football, right? No matter what somebody in the media may say, quite frankly, doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Really doesn't. I mean, if you want to change the narrative, I say it all the time, just win your games. Just win. The ACC was 4-16 against ranked non-conference opponents. That set a narrative. It had nothing to do with somebody on Twitter. Had nothing to do with a television show or a broadcast or anything else. That was set in the sense that the league didn't get the job done in November and December. Being completely honest with you. The league in March is getting the job done. The narrative changes. Why? Because you win. Doesn't matter what Jimmy Dyke says or Fran Fraschilla or Sean Farnham. I think all three of those guys are great at what they do. And if they want to have the pom-poms of the SEC or the, you know, the Pac-12 or the Big 12, good, whatever. That doesn't affect anything in terms of getting the job done on the court. So does the ACC need a pom-pom waiver who's a basketball analyst if you want? But, you know, I'm more impressed with what you do with the thing called scoreboard. Do you win the games? If you win, it takes care of all of that stuff. You don't have to worry about it. So I get where he's coming from, but in some respects, that's just noise. It's just outside noise. The ACC, for anybody that has a brain in their head, you know what this conference has been about when it comes to men's basketball, the tradition, the history, the numbers. We've been spewing it all week. Mm-hmm. And anybody wants to have a conversation, bring it on. The right. ACC has been the standard by which you measure your league. Doesn't mean they're the best every year. And for to be completely transparent, the standard's so high in this league when it comes to hoops, that's what we measure the league by. It's this standard. And this year, quite frankly, in the regular season, it wasn't met. The standard wasn't as good as it's been in the past. There's a reason there's only five teams in the dance. However, when you get to March, it matters. And right now, the ACC has been tremendous. 8-2 3 in the Sweet 16 again. Here we go. Let's go play.
A lot of the storyline for the Atlantic Coast Conference was written last spring. We shared it. I thought we were very candid on this program. You
transfer
especially.
Portal.
Huh?
Transfer portal.
Right. A lot of the story was written about the exodus of players leaving the league and who's coming into the league. Combine that. Roy Williams announces his retirement. Kay announces his after this year. One thing kind of led to another. And the next thing you know, there's a lot of instability in the Atlantic Coast Conference in basketball, right? Remember, we were coming off an NCAA tournament, had not been a great performance there. And all of a sudden, you got this climate shift, if you will, climate change of ACC basketball. Then what happens? November and December unfold, and it's not great. You don't win the ACC Big Ten Challenge. You're 4-16 in games against ranked non-conference opponents. And guess what you are? Easy pickings. You're easy pickings. Remember, C.L. Brown joined us in December. He wrote an article about lack of first-round draft power, lack of, you know, portal success, things of that nature. I think you said at the time, it's cyclical. Sure it is, but this was a dip. But again, I disagree with people who say that you didn't see this coming. 2 years ago, 18-19 was a Cinderella year, a magical year. Three number ones. You had a dominant non-conference record against ranked opponents. The last 2 years has been a slow decline in that particular category, and it bottomed out this year at 4-16. We went through this. The number a year ago was better, but not significantly better than 4-16. Okay? So, has the ACC gotten an upswing here in the month of March? Absolutely. Why? Because there are more commodities to pull from. You see Miami's, you know, age and experience paying off in the NCAA tournament. Carolina has kind of come full circle in Hubert Davis's first season. You got a really good story. Mike Krzyzewski, you knew it would be going out the door. By the way, Notre Dame had a nice run in the tournament. Steve Forbes has got a Wake Forest program that's on the rebound. If they can win tonight in College Station, guess what? There's somebody you think differently about come the fall of 22. Guess who else you're thinking differently about now? Virginia Tech. Okay? So now, rather than having the one bid league that everybody wanted to jump on in early January, which was easy to do because it was the ACC.
And stupid.
Now you're going to have a list of four, five, or six teams. But I'll caution you to this. We still have the rocky climate and landscape of college basketball. We got players diving in the portal. We got guys transferring. We got coaches moving and changing and all sorts of other things. The league has an unprecedented history of success. But you can't take your eye off the ball, Pack. You can't do it. Yes, there's going to be a lot of attention paid to ACC football and Jim Phillips' administration, and I understand it. But you cannot forget at the same time, if you're Steve Forbes, if you're Mike Young, if you're Josh Pastner, Brad Brownell, name them, doesn't matter. Kenny Payne just got the job. Same thing Packer talks about in football applies in basketball. The brand names need to be good because when the brand names are good, the league rises. That was what was so interesting about Southeastern Conference. They had a night. Kentucky was good. Guess who else was good? Auburn was good. Tennessee was good. See? The list kind of moves up and down. And then all of a sudden, all those cats except Eric Musselman are sitting at home this week. That's why they're not thinking about the SEC this week the way they are about the ACC. You tell the story at the front end. You write the story at the end of the year. Right now, the ACC with three in the Sweet 16, here's the deal, though. Can be gone in 24 hours.
Change on a dime. You got to go win. It doesn't matter who the announcer is. Doesn't matter who he roots for.
Right.
Doesn't matter what the spin is. Doesn't matter what's on Twitter.
Right.
Or any other social media aspect. You got to go close the deal.
Yeah.
That's how it changes any narrative.
Yeah.
Whether you're a doormat or whether you're at the top of the heap.
Yeah.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. So I appreciate his comments. Appreciate the ideas. Yeah. It'd be nice to have somebody who you count on as the ACC guy to go champion the cause, but guess what? Lee's got to write its own story, too. And it's got to write a story of success in order to maintain presence in the college basketball landscape.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Will it be championship number one for the 19-year-old Virginia freshman, Gretchen Walsh? Start there for Burkhoff in lane number five. I think Walsh is going to do it. She's going to win her first title. Twice a runner-up here at these championships. Now the freshman's on top. 46-05. Gretchen Walsh. 202-60 is that American record time to beat to complete what would be maybe the ultimate triple by Virginia junior Kate Douglas.
No doubt, Bill. If she breaks the record here, this will be the greatest performance, in my opinion, in NCAA history.
All right, watch the clock. Here comes Douglas. Has some time to work with, trying to get inside. 202-60. What a week for Kate Douglas. Here she comes, the wall.
She did it!
Does it!
She did it!
202-19. And the flexing continues for Kate Douglas.
Sophomore down there at the bottom. Senior up toward the top.
Big turn from Alex Walsh as she looks for her third title this week.
Here comes Smith.
Smith coming late. It is Walsh who wins her third championship this week. Carter second.
Virginia and Kate Douglas leading it off. The single greatest NCAA championship, in my opinion, in history, what she has done here in Atlanta. 5,300 fly
time. This has just been absolutely riveting stuff to watch from this Cavalier team.
And it's just breathtaking.
But it is all Virginia on this final leg. Freshman Gretchen Walsh fresh off her first individual championship in the 103. This is the exclamation point on an emphatic statement at this championship. Virginia goes back to back. The Cavs win another relay, and they set an American record and an NCAA record. Process 306-91.
Pretty good.
Hey, look, we're getting ready to go to the high level right now. You heard Rowdy Gaines. Greatest performance in an NCAA championship ever.
That's strong.
Yeah. Please welcome Kate Douglas to the Packer and Durham program this morning. from Charlottesville. Kate, like all dutiful, loyal swimmers, has already been in the pool. Bless your heart. The week after a championship, you guys still grinding, huh?
Some of us have world championship trials at the end of April, so we don't really get much time off after NCAAs this year, which is unfortunate.
Well, some of us don't, Kate. First of all, congratulations. I mean, that was impressive.
Thank you.
Not from an individual standpoint, but from a team standpoint. And I know swimming's kind of unique in that way, but how cool is that? I mean, not only do you get the self-gratification of all the work to achieve your individual success, but to be able to share it with your team and have them have another back-to-back national championship, it can't get much better than that.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, I think I had some crazy swims myself, but I think the best part was getting to watch all of my teammates also have crazy swims, and just watching all of us do that together was just insane. It kind of just blew my mind.
Kate, couple things here. One, you've had incredible success internationally. I mean, you were an Olympian a year ago, got a bronze medal. You guys have had great success this year as a team, back-to-back national championships. I mean, this was a dusting of the field in Atlanta this past weekend. You just talked about world championships. How do you process success like this? I mean, people are talking. I mean, Rowdy Gaines used his greatest performance ever. What does that resonate? Where does that fall with you?
Yeah, I mean, that statement is just sounds so crazy to me, because I don't think I ever thought I would go to NCAAs and win three individual events, let alone break three American records. So I think I still kind of am in a little bit of shock that I did that. And I keep joking around with my family that was like the best meet of my life. And I don't really know how I'm going to ever upstage that. But I think it's just really awesome to see just all the hard work that I've put in this past year and this past like 3 years at Virginia just really pay off that one weekend there.
So how do you reboot? I mean, okay, that accomplished, check, check, check. And now, as you mentioned, you got the Worlds coming up. So how do you reboot and refocus, or do you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this whole season, my focus has kind of been on NCAAs and I guess just winning that as a team. So now I guess I'll shift my focus to World Champ Trials, which is in like 4 weeks from now. But yeah, I think it's just kind of focusing on one thing at a time, because after the Olympics, I wasn't really sure how I was going to kind of like decompress from that and, you know, go back into the college scene. But I think I just kind of shifted my focus, you know, to the college season and to my team, and, you know, that made it work.
Kate, how do you, I want to use this term the right way. You swim with a great team at Virginia. It's not a good team. It's a great team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great program. Yeah. Coach DeSorbo has done an incredible job with just building a culture of success with this program. How much of that pays off for individuals like yourself when you go to the Olympics, the World Championships, things like that? The competitive nature of that program and that foundation on a bigger picture or a bigger stage is what part?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just super like awesome that I get to train with this group of girls every day, because I mean, just getting to push myself and swim next to girls who are going just as fast as I am at these meets is pretty awesome. Like getting to train with Gretchen every day. I mean, we both went under 21 in the 50 free, which is pretty insane. I don't think any other team has ever, you know, had two girls that are like, you know, I guess that like dominant in the freestyle sprints. So it's just pretty awesome to train next to these girls who I'm then, you know, competing with to get spots on these world championship teams. And then being able to go to international meets with my college teammates is, I think, an experience that a lot of people don't have, which is awesome.
It sounds like your schedule is nuts. And oh, by the way, I'm a student at the University of Virginia, a great academic institution. Have you had time to maximize or even touch base with any name, image, and likeness opportunities?
Yeah, after the Olympics, I definitely got a lot of like requests from people, but I kind of just had a focus of just getting like a suit sponsorship. So I'm an Arena USA athlete. So Arena is like the swimsuit brand that I wear.
Sure.
So that's kind of the only, I guess, sponsorship that I've been doing, just cause I don't really have a lot of time with school and everything to, you know, I guess, take advantage of all of the opportunities that I'm given. So yeah, just kind of that.
All right. How do you process then the schedule? because you're obviously in the pool this morning and you were there early. I mean, who are we kidding, right? I mean, swimmers don't, I've always noticed swimmers don't go at lunch.
No. Nope.
They always, I mean, nobody goes at lunch. I think I'll go over at lunch and get a swim in and then come back and go to class. So take us through kind of the schedule. I mean, I'm going to guess it's a handful of free hours during the week for you, if that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a little different for everyone, but I have two classes a day. And then we usually have, I guess we swim 6 days a week. We have Sunday off, which is nice. And then we have three or four doubles a week. So on the double days, it's kind of tough because we might not have time for like a nap, I guess, or a lot of free time to do homework. But I definitely try to make time for a nap when I can, because getting up early every morning definitely makes it hard to focus on the schoolwork.
Yeah.
Kate, you may not understand this question, so I'm going to try to walk you through this a little bit. I've got a theory about the ocean, and I'm going to work backwards to you here in a second. But I got a theory that the millisecond your big toe hits the water, you're the visiting team. And I almost drowned last year at Turks and Caicos by being an idiot and getting in the ocean. I'm just curious, for somebody who's a world-class swimmer like yourself, when you chill out and go to the beach, do you swim? Or do you just say, I've done enough swimming, I'm going to just chill here? How's that work for you?
I definitely enjoy swimming in the ocean. I think it's very different than regular,
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, we got you back. All right, go ahead and start with that answer. You definitely swim in the ocean, but...
Yeah, I just think it's very different than, pool training. I'm not going to do a workout in the ocean, but I love going to the beach. It's awesome.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, I still, I'm just going to stay there on shore and wave at you. How about that? I'll just give you one of those right there and keep the beverage cold.
All right. So national championship success, now world championships. First of all, where are the worlds this year, Kate?
They are in Budapest this year.
Nice.
Wow. So the travel in this sport must be pretty good too, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I think that's definitely the main reason I want to make these international teams, is to be able to travel, It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. And here's the other thing I want to follow up with. I worked at Georgia Tech for many, many years. I was there when the Aquatic Center was finished for the Olympics in 96. I've always been told that pool is a fast pool. Did you find it to be fast?
I mean, it seemed like it was pretty fast this weekend, I guess.
All right. So when I hear the term fast pool, I have no idea what that means. Can you tell me, are there slow pools and fast pools in swimming?
I don't really know. I think when I was little, people kind of, I guess, started rumors like, oh, this is a fast pool because it, has deep water or something. Like, I don't think there's really any science to it. I think people just kind of make that up. Yeah. But it does seem like this was a fast pool this weekend. But I think if we were in any other pool, we still would have done the same thing. So. Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
There's any doubt about that. Yeah. All right, our traditional question, Kate, since you're making your debut on the show. Since you've been at the University of Virginia, what has been your hardest class?
Oh, goodness, my hardest class. Oh, that might be a class I'm taking right now, Applied Linear Algebra. It's a math class, and it's not going too well.
Oh, it's not going well. So, there's fast math and there's slow math, Kate. This sounds like slow math.
Right. Might not have heard. Do you hear what we said?
No, I'm a statistics major, so I definitely am a math person, but this class is just a little bit my scope. I'm not really understanding everything.
You'll get it. You'll have it. Hey. Listen, congratulations. Really a true honor to have
you
on the show and for your team. They have been absolutely spectacular to watch. And congratulations on everyone's success.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yep, look forward to seeing you in the Worlds in Hungary. Good luck there. And when we come back, in case you missed it from yesterday, Charlie Moore will join us. But quick reminder, lacrosse on the grounds at the University of Virginia Saturday, 1 o'clock in the top 10, men's lacrosse. Notre Dame visits Virginia. This is a big one in the ACC setup as well. Cavaliers and Irish get together right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. In case you missed it yesterday, Charlie Moore joined us for his second appearance on the program, and he did not disappoint.
No, Charlie was ready to go. I mean, why wouldn't you be? Homecoming trip coming up this week, Miami to the Sweet 16, and Charlie Moore coming off not only a great performance himself, but a great performance by Miami and Greenville to get to the Sweet 16, including the win against the two-seed Auburn. But beyond that, Charlie maybe had the best seat at Bon Secours Wellness Arena for Isaiah Wong's dunk on Jabari Smith.
I really think I had the best view. You know, I was on by Auburn bench. You know, had a little angle on it. I seen him wind up. I think Jabari might have thought he was going to lay it up. You know, Zay cocked it back and dunked it, man. It was crazy. You know, we've been telling Zay about it all the time. I guess he's probably tired of hearing about it, but he know what he did, man. That was a crazy dunk, man. I was excited. See, I was over there jumping around. I was over there jumping. That was crazy.
Charlie, did you turn to the Auburn bench and go, "Fellas, I got news for you"?
I just jumped twice. I was just excited.
Yeah, you should have told him, hey, the second half ain't going to get much better either, boys. Y'all better just strap it on real tight and head on back to the planes because this is getting ready to get ugly.
Look at Charlie. Yeah. Look at Charlie in front of the Auburn bench. Ooh.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was a crazy dunk.
Charlie, I know you've seen it. You know, Justin Mutz got a T-shirt from a company with the dunk on Banchero in the championship game, right? I know Wong's got to get a T-shirt made. Come on now. We gotta have the Breaking Tea Company get on the line here and get this shirt turned around, don't we?
Oh man, probably so. You know, you gotta ask Zay about that one, but all I know is that dunk was, you know, it was a crazy dunk, athletic dunk, strong dunk. You know, I was just happy for Zay after he did that.
All right. Now you've been some places, you played some ball. Is that as good as you've seen in a game?
As far as what?
That dunk.
Oh, that's the best dunk I've seen, like, live in a very long time, to be honest. You know, just how powerful he went up, how strong he put the ball in. And, you know, it was over, like, a 6'10 guy, you know. So he had to go up strong and finish it. You know, it was a great dunk.
Now, people look at the play, but I'm going to ask you this. It's also a momentum builder for you guys. I mean, when a play like that happens, tell me the adrenaline just doesn't start pumping more for you guys at that point, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, plays like that get us going. You know, it get the crowd going. You know, it just instills energy into us as a team. You know, even though after that dunk, Auburn still made a run. You know, we had to, you know, keep fighting. But, yeah, that dunk definitely, you know, put energy into everybody. Everybody was excited for him. Look at everybody, leaves Jordan. Everybody was excited. The energy was crazy.
Charlie, that leads us to this week. It's got to be incredibly rewarding. Number one, the fact that you guys are still alive and kicking as a 10 seed, but, man, you're going home. We're going to Chicago to play in the NCAA tournament. What does that mean to you?
I mean, it's an exciting moment for me. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, you know, and to be able to make it this far, you know, like the final 16 teams in the country. You know, it's a great experience, but it's even more exciting to go home, you know, play in front of family and friends. You know, I'm just excited for the moment, man. I'm just trying to take one moment at a time.
Well, you've had quite the journey. We've talked about that the first time you were with us, and everybody kind of understands that. It's almost storybook that you get a chance to take Miami to Chicago to play. I mean, when did that strike you on the flight home? I got to believe that flying back the other night, you're thinking, holy cow, I'm actually going to get to go play in my hometown in a building that I love to play in a game that's got some high stakes to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, after I was thinking, like, man, I'm really going home, man. Like, we really just won a second round game in the tournament. We're going to the Sweet 16, you know. I mean, it still haven't really, like, hit me yet. Like, I think it's going to hit me, like, years ahead. But, I mean, I know how exciting this moment is. You know, I'm just trying to take one moment at a time for me and my teammates, man. So, I'm just excited for us, well, to be honest.
Yeah, I get it. Now, the next moment is, it's great you get a homecoming game, but the real issue is going to be the ticket list. You know that. Come on now. We got to take care of our business, don't we?
Yeah, we definitely do. You know, just got to take care. You know, I'm going to take care of my family, make sure they're good. So, you know, everything after that, you know, I'm not trying to worry too much about the ticket thing, to be honest.
What do you know about Iowa State?
I know they're a hard-fought team. You know, they're going to play hard every possession. You know, they're never giving up. You know, they got shooters as well. You know, great guard play. You know, they played in Big 12, which is a great conference, you know, and they made it to the tournament. So, you know, they're a great team. We can't take anybody for granted. And we just got to take it one game at a time.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be one of those games that kind of fits really both teams. Style of play, Isaiah Brockington's a terrific player for the Cyclones. And you know from your days at Kansas, that crowd scraps with you, right? I mean, it's good thing you're not playing at Hilton Coliseum, right, Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, they got one of the best fan bases in college basketball, to be honest. You know, so I'm just looking forward to the game, man. Me and my team is just going to go in and, you know, give 110% effort, you know, like we've been doing all season. And I'm just looking forward to see what's the outcome. You know, I'm just excited for us.
You know, I know that you only can concern yourself with Iowa State, and whatever happens with Kansas and Providence, so be it. But your goal is to win, and let's get to the next game. But you got to peek a little bit and go, I mean, for you in Chicago playing Kansas is almost surreal, isn't it? I mean, if that turns out to be the scenario.
I mean, I don't like to look, you know, too far ahead, man. Right. Like I've been saying, you know, I'm just trying to live in the moment, you know, and take one game at a time, man. But, you know, if that game was to come, you know, I'd be excited for me and my teammates.
He has played so well. Like I said yesterday, he's had so many memorable moments already this year in ACC hoops and the performance Miami had over the weekend. Number one, one game that's gotten lost, I think, given all the games you watch, was their win against SC, which was a tremendous basketball game.
Yeah, led most of it, if not all of it, and held on at the end.
Right, and SC's shot literally at midcourt almost goes in, could have eliminated the dream, but it did not. Miami wins the game, and, of course, then they just put on a clinic. They just blew Auburn out of the water. So now they move forward, and like I said, great backcourt awaits in this matchup with Iowa State. It's going to be some kind of basketball game.
Here's a note for you. This would be a bar bet for Packer.
This is a bar bet. Yeah. I know where you're going.
Miami is the only ACC program, past or present, to never make an Elite Eight. Now, remember back in the day.
To get to an Elite Eight.
Right, to reach an Elite Eight. So they've never been in an Elite Eight game. Remember back in the day, the event at times was 32 teams, so you kind of started in the Elite Eight, if you will.
Virginia Tech did that once.
Yeah, Virginia Tech. And I mean, but yeah, think about that. Miami's never been to the Elite Eight.
To win a Sweet 16 to get to an Elite Eight. Yeah. Miami's got a chance since dirt, right, to pull a since dirt here. So this Jim Larranega, you know, he's done this magic formula thing before. We've seen this act before, right?
Yes.
Where all of a sudden Jim Larranega dials it up, and man, you get good guards, you can do some damage. But Miami has been a tremendous story in this tournament.
You know, I think, look, we know how great Mike Krzyzewski is. We know how great Roy Williams was, right, coaching at Carolina. This guy right here, at some point, and I think it's starting to happen again. It happened once already. Remember Miami made a run a few years ago when they had Shane Larkin and Kenny Kaji in that crowd, right?
You see it right there. Three Sweet 16 appearances, compliments to Jim Larranega.
Right. Think about this, though. The coaching life of this guy, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, his coaching life, he's been to a Final Four with George Mason. I thought it was interesting that they profiled Barry Collier the other day, the old Butler coach on the CBS broadcast in Indianapolis. Yeah, talking about how, you know, he was the guy. He told Jim Larranega, you wrote the book on mid-majors to the Final Four. I mean, he did that with George Mason. And here he is with Miami, and you just sense that Jim Larrañaga is putting out this. He's showing you all the cards. I mean, what he did Sunday, come on now. That was unbelievable. It took Auburn apart. A team that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, that crowd right there, they can win it all.
Well, they can. I mean, yeah. Auburn had a tremendous year. They were the number one team in the country for multiple weeks, and Bruce has done a tremendous job. But, you know, they got out-coached and outplayed Sunday night. Now they got woodshedded. And when you've got great guards who really know how to play, and that's the thing. You watch them play, man. They're old. They're experienced. They know how to play off one another. When Larrañaga spaced them out the other day and just took Auburn's bigs out of the mix and just went, now what do you want to do? Because we're going to beat y'all senseless. And they did.
Yeah.
I mean, it was impressive. So, guy can flat-out coach, and he's got guards, and that is a great combination in the month of March.
Yeah, sure is. So, keeping an eye on Miami for sure. As they meet Iowa State.
And all that game guarantees you is there's going to be a double-digit seed in the Elite Eight. I mean, that's a 10 versus an 11.
Right.
I told you earlier, you know, there's only been a handful of those in the history of the league. I mean, in the history of the tournament. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen again this week. We've got great storylines, as usual, in the dance, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've kidded around about St. Peter's and all that stuff. But, hey, you got a 15 in the Sweet 16, right? Like, how'd these guys get here?
That
well, they've
correct.
Earned it.
Yeah.
Right? They beat Kentucky and looked the part. They didn't flinch. So you got amazing storylines. You've got some programs and coaches that have been tremendous, but they don't have a national title to their name. You got the ACC, which has been a pleasant surprise nationally in terms of three teams in the Sweet 16. You have the major disappointment, the SEC, which has been the biggest flop so far of the tournament, but yet there's still Arkansas there. You got the Big Ten. Here we go again. 9 in the dance, only 2 in the Sweet 16. Are we going to do this again? That the Big Ten goes another year without winning a national title. You got Arizona, the last team from the Pac-12 to ever win a national title. That was 1997, 25 years. Can they do it? I mean, the storylines are sensational as we head into the games tomorrow and Friday.
It's actually played out to be kind of the event we've talked about during the course of the year where it's wide open. Now, we said this when the tournament got ready to start. You're the Sweet 16. Anybody can win it now. Anybody.
Yeah, and I talk about narratives all the time, right? Just win. And if you think you're on top of the world, in a matter of seconds, you can find yourself going, what just happened? So, grab your popcorn and let it rip, man. Tomorrow night's going to be out of sight. And, of course, we got Wake Forest and A&M tonight on the NIT side. And then the ladies get cranked up, too, with 4 ACC teams in the Sweet 16 on the ladies' side. So, it's a great time of the year.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Pro Day coverage in the ACC continues on Monday morning at 10 o'clock with North Carolina's Pro Day. And that means Sam Howell in front of the gathering right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. A couple of notes here about Pro Days in just a moment. That coverage continues with Carolina. Looking forward to seeing Sam Howell. Ty Chandler will be there. Jeremiah Gimmel. Others also for the Tar Heels. Back-to-back days, we've had Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis, and this ties into the ACC because Pickett is expected to be one of the two quarterbacks taken in the first round. Sam Howell did well at the combine. His pro day is going to be important. He is teetering on the back end of the first round, early second round in terms of selection in the NFL draft. Going to be interesting to watch. The highest moving guy in the ACC, one of the guys, Eki Ekwonu, we know is going to go top 3 in April.
Could be one,
but it's felt like Aiden Hutchinson now of Michigan is going to be the consensus number one pick to Jacksonville on the defensive end spot, but subject to change. So Icky could be 2 or 3.
I sure hope they protect Trevor Lawrence down there in Jacksonville.
Well,
I would suggest an offensive lineman.
Yeah. One of the guys who is moving up the chart, though, is Jermaine Johnson, Florida State.
Yeah, great. He was great at the Senior Bowl, and people love him. And
Jermaine Johnson is sneaking around a little bit. So,
and Kenny Pickett, I already started looking for houses for Kenny here in Charlotte. And
got that one planned, do you?
I
do. Going to take Kenny Pickett?
There's a place right down the street. I'm just told the owner. I said, hey, you know, Kenny can come by, grab some breakfast, come hang out with us. Be Carolina Panther quarterback. Works out great.
Okay. Be good news. Maybe we can just have him come by and off day on a Tuesday, he'd come in and have coffee. And
I mean, the Panthers need a quarterback. Apparently, Baker Mayfield's not good enough for this group here. So I think Kenny Pickett, who, by the way, from what I read, his hand size
got bigger.
Gotten larger since the Pitt career.
We had some video of him walking to Matt Rhule and to Scott Fritterer and to Ben McAdoo, the offensive coordinator, and showing him his right hand.
Yeah, it's gotten bigger.
Yeah. Here's my right hand,
guys.
So
the workouts
it's kind of what it looks like when I hold the – he held the football for him, everything.
Well, we had Pat Narduzzi on the show this week. I said, Pat, this is the stupidest thing. And you heard what Pat said. He thinks the whole thing's a joke.
Yeah. So EJ and I said, Kenny, this right hand thing, come on now, really? It's going to be a thing? He started laughing.
I mean, I don't even understand it. Just put in the tape and see if the guy can throw the football. How about that?
Hey, man, measurables. Sometimes measurables overtake these people in the room.
Let's overthink it just a little bit. But we'll look forward to having Kenny Pickett here in Carolina. Tell you that right now.
We got ACC basketball tonight over on ESPN2, 7 o'clock. Wake Forest takes the floor at Reed Arena down in College Station against Texas A&M. Pack. Big challenge for Steve Forbes' team now.
No, listen, no doubt. This should be a really competitive, fun game.
Ooh, and BPI 74%.
Oh, poor Wake.
Come
I don't know.
On.
If Wake knew that, they probably would have never left Switzerland. By the way, BPI, what did BPI have last night for Virginia and St. Bonaventure?
Oh, I have no idea.
Can we look that up?
Oh, I got to believe Virginia was favored.
I would assume so, but I mean, I'm just asking the BPI machine. I mean, because right now BPI doesn't have Wake winning, doesn't have Duke winning, doesn't have North Carolina winning, and doesn't have Miami winning.
56 for Virginia last night.
So they were wrong.
Yeah.
So BPI wrong again. I mean, how many more times do I need to state my case with BPI?
Yeah.
Seriously. But the game should be highly competitive. Yeah. I expect it to be.
No question. Hey, by the way. Good news, Dick Vitale. Everybody has been pulling and praying for Dick in the last, 9 months for sure, right?
It's been a tough run, no doubt.
Yeah, and the vocal news a week or so ago was outstanding, and now it's going to finish up chemo, and he is in remission from his cancer. And Dick, our thoughts and prayers with you, and everybody's been pulling for you, and we're glad to hear that great news yesterday. The ambassador, I'm telling you, nobody champions college basketball more than Dick Vitale. He's done it for years, and great news for you and Lorraine. So there you go.
Amen to that, brother.
Thanks to Dallin Cuff. Thanks to Beatrice Wallen and Kate Douglas. Kate Douglas, in 591 shows, Kate Douglas might be top five in most accomplished student athlete to appear on this program.
Pretty strong.
Pretty strong.
And all of them. I mean, no disrespect. And that's the thing that we love about this show. I mean, the student athletes are the stars, other than Chester and Fuller, of course. Right.
Tomorrow on this show, we'll get you ready for the Sweet 16. We'll check in at the venues out in California. Might be early. We'll find some folks. And guess what else tomorrow? Amanda Perkowski returns to this program. Fencing National Championships.
Got it right there.
South Bend, Indiana.
Got my mask ready to go.
Yeah, do you? Going to put that on again, are you?
Maybe not a need to. We're
quite,
friends now.
That's true.
Repeat visit.
She knows we have no clue.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.